We're reading your hearing now the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 6. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this? What David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God, and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I ask you one thing, is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. God, help us understand His Word this afternoon. You may be seated. As most, if not all of you know, my preferred method of trying to rightly divide God's unique written Word of Truth, the Holy Bible, is to move progressively through a book that I've started until I finish it. This has both its blessings and its challenges. One of the blessings is the number of times that a particular text of Scripture I am at speaks directly to something current, either in the world around us or even in our small fellowship. Something I didn't know would be the case when I began to preach through that particular book of the Bible. And people foolishly doubt the presence and sovereignty of God in this world. But one of the challenges associated with moving progressively through a book of the Bible is it means, more than once, having to address truth from God's Word of Truth, the Holy Bible, in which there is not, and I question whether there ever will be unanimity of agreement in biblical gospel preaching churches on the subject that the section of Scripture that I have reached addresses. And friends, if you have been a true Christian for very long, you know, and I know, that one subject in which this is true is the teaching on the Sabbath. I could give you a stack of books this high on the subject. And to be honest with you, I have no hesitation in saying to you this afternoon that since I preached through this biblical gospel of Luke shortly after having been called to this pulpit in 1993, that what my convictions and this fellowship's convictions were at this time, many moons ago, concerning the subject of the Sabbath, I know, that if I was to look back on what I said on the verses I have reached, or could listen to the audio tape of that message or messages I preached, that they would be different. Even radically different from what I'm going to preach to you this afternoon. Which is why I praise and thank God for what Luke writes in the book of Acts concerning the Bereans. In Acts 17:11, these, that is the Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Whether those things were so. Here's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bereans didn't have any problem taking what he was saying back to the word of God.
Amen.
Brethren, be like these Bereans. Be like these Bereans. Don't just accept what I'm about to say to you because I can string arguments together and raise my voice and get animated. Be convinced. Be convicted. Be instructed by the Holy Spirit of God and not me. And one of the reasons years ago I did something that I normally don't do. That is, not finish preaching through a book of the Bible I started. Was I didn't finish it. Arthur knows the book I'm referring to. I preached through it to a point and I stopped. I stopped and I never went back because I could not preach what would have been an assault on the confession that this church endorsed and that I had endorsed when I came among you. But with further prolonged study and meditation, I found myself unable to continue to do so, leading, as you know, to this fellowship unanimously changing the confession it uses to help define itself.
Amen.
For friends, I am convinced that my previous understanding about the Sabbath in light of living under the light of the completed scriptures, whose primary purpose is to point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, their only hope of rest and peace with God, was incorrect. I am convinced that just as Jesus declares back in Luke chapter 4, verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. The scripture Jesus is saying that he is the fulfillment of is the scripture teaching on the Jubilee year. That just as Jesus is a believer's new covenant Jubilee, Jesus is also the new covenant believer's true Sabbath, regardless of the day of the week.
Amen.
Jesus is the true believer's Sabbath rest.
Amen.
The one the believer has the blessing of resting his believing soul on due to the finished work of Christ for them every day of the week of their pilgrim journey in this soul tiring world.
Thank God.
The purpose of the Lord giving the old covenant Sabbath to man, uniquely and only to Old Covenant Israel, was to point forward to His beloved Son.
Right.
The very one who declares at the end of Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Praise His name.
Just before Matthew gives his Holy Spirit account of what Luke records in the verses I've reached in Luke 6. Remember, friends, the chapter and verse divisions are not inspired. Because right after Matthew records the truth that sinners must come to Jesus to find the rest, the Sabbath, He alone can give you, you have Matthew record Jesus correcting the lost religious Pharisees and their grievous misunderstanding and misuse of the Old Covenant Sabbath. Now, will those who I see as incorrectly seeing, as I once did, as seeing the Old Covenant Sabbath commandment as continuing, for lack of a better term, as abiding moral law, will those who hold this conviction see me as an antinomian? Will they see me as an antinomian? Will they see me as being against law? Sadly, it would not surprise me that some, even many, incorrectly will. And friends, the message I preached from 1 John 5 earlier today should put the axe to the roots of that lie. I love the commandments of God.
Amen.
Because I'm a redeemed child of God.
Amen.
For if a person is going to call the old covenant Sabbath continuing moral law, rather than a law given to a particular people, the Jews, for a particular purpose, to testify to our need for the rest only the Lord can provide sinners, for a particular time, that is while the old covenant nation of Israel existed as a theocracy, something not true today, then why are all the other time-related events of the old covenant not also in force in the new covenant, like the Jubilee year that Jesus clearly says he fulfills? Friends, under the old covenant, the Sabbath was able to be equitably applied to old covenant Israel, although the legalistic Pharisees and scribes had distorted and destroyed its meaning, making it a burden and not a blessing, as seen in the biblical gospels as Jesus confronted them for their hypocrisy and misunderstanding of its purpose, namely to point to Him as the only one able to give sinners peace and rest with God. The Old Covenant Sabbath was able to be equitably applied because Old Covenant Israel was a theocracy. When the actual Sabbath came, everything shut down. When the actual Sabbath came, friends, everything shut down, so no one in Old Covenant Israel had to concern themselves with whether or not their boss would expect them to work and fire them for not showing up at work. But how many, not seeing the Old Covenant Sabbath as pointing to and being fulfilled by Christ, have guilted themselves or guilted someone else unnecessarily and unlovingly because their boss required them to work on what they or another person has incorrectly seen as the Sabbath, be it Saturday or Sunday? Because friends, it is impossible. It is impossible to know with the certainty that Old Covenant Israel had and the people alive when Jesus walked on the earth, that the day people call the Sabbath today, be it the first day of the week or the seventh day of the week, in their thinking is the actual Sabbath or Lord's Day, like the Sabbath Old Covenant Israel knew with absolute certainty was the Sabbath the Lord wanted them to keep, because there was no manna for them to collect on the actual Sabbath day. And since Jesus has fulfilled the Sabbath as He has all types and shadows related to days under the Old Covenant, to say that any day of the week is the Sabbath is religious tradition. It's religious tradition, not revealed truth, binding on the conscience of a believer in Christ. As Paul so clearly teaches in Colossians 2, the verses I stopped at in that book years ago. Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. But the body, the reality, the substance of all these days is found in Christ Jesus alone. Now, as I said, am I going to convince anyone of this? Am I going to convince anyone of this? No. No. I can't convince anyone of anything.
especially with respect to the Sabbath. But that I am convinced that it points to and is fulfilled in Christ. Friends, I have to say, I am like Luther. I am like Luther. It is neither right nor safe to go against what you believe the Scriptures teach on any subject, not just the Sabbath. Here is where I stand on the Sabbath. God help me. Amen. For friends, if the Old Covenant Sabbath commandment, uniquely given to Old Covenant Israel, is abiding moral law, I find it interesting that no person prior to the Lord giving the Sabbath uniquely to Old Covenant Israel was ever rebuked for not observing it or breaking it. The Lord specifically says that He gave the Sabbath uniquely to Old Covenant Israel. And the first time the word Sabbath is used in the Scriptures is Exodus 16:23. And He said unto them, "This is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which He will bake today, and seed that which He will seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you, to be kept until the morning." And God specifically declares through Ezekiel that He gave His Sabbaths to Old Covenant Israel. Ezekiel 20:12, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them." Now there are those who will raise an objection because Jesus says this in Mark 2:27. "And He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Uniquely given to Old Covenant Israel. Yes, but made for man. Is this a contradiction? No. Old Covenant Israel didn't teach or observe the Old Covenant Sabbath properly, as seen by how they distorted their teachings on it. And so by the time Jesus walked on the earth, He had to correct them. Jesus came to correct the abuses of it and declare its true meaning, to point to Him as the only one who can give the soul true rest and peace, even as Paul shows in Hebrews about so many other Old Covenant types, to name just a few of them. The New Covenant is a better covenant. The New Covenant has better promises, all yea and amen in Christ. The New Covenant has a better country, heaven. The New Covenant has a better blood once shed. The New Covenant has a better atonement, finished. And the New Covenant has a better Sabbath, resting in the finished work of Christ alone for sinners.
Amen.
Yes, as Hebrews 4:9 declares, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." The exact Greek word is a sabbatismos. "There remaineth therefore a sabbatismos to the people of God." And interestingly, the Holy Spirit guides Paul to use a unique word found nowhere else to describe the rest that remains under the new covenant in Christ. Jesus is unique, friends. And because He's unique, the Holy Spirit says there has to be a word uniquely that applies to Him. There remains the keeping of a rest for the people of God. And that rest is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Sabbath that remains under the new covenant is the rest of faith. Not looking at anything you have done or are doing to give you peace and rest with God, but Christ alone. Verse 10 of Hebrews 4, "For he that is entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own works as God did from him." But what about the fact that Jesus kept the Old Testament Sabbath? Valid point. Valid point. How many have heard the acrostic? WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus kept the Old Covenant Sabbath. Friends, all sayings have their limitations. Jesus was circumcised. Jesus was under the now rescinded Old Covenant food laws. Jesus kept the Old Covenant Sabbath because He was born under the Old Covenant and had come to fulfill all its purposes.
Right.
He kept the Sabbath, but not in the way that the lost legalistic Pharisees had twisted it and perverted it. If I dare put it this way, Jesus was not a meek and mild milquetoast when it came to confronting the scribes and Pharisees over their distortion of the Old Covenant Sabbath. Dare I say, Jesus went out of his way. Jesus went out of his way to annoy the scribes and Pharisees, especially with reference to the Sabbath. Why do I say this? Well, what do you see Jesus have no problem doing? With what his disciples were doing. Something he knew would get the hackles of the Pharisees raised. Luke 6, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? These legalistic, law-grieving Pharisees had turned the Old Covenant Sabbath into a burden and not a delight. So what does Jesus do? He challenges them with their ignorance of the Scriptures. He challenges them with the ignorance of the Scriptures. Verses 3 and 4, and Jesus answering them said, have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests alone. It was not wrong for David and those with him to eat, to meet human need, even though they were not priests. Therefore, it is legitimate to meet human need, even though it is the Sabbath. And in Matthew's account of this encounter, Jesus exposes the unloving character of the Pharisees in their criticizing his disciples for what they were doing. Matthew 12:7. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. I repeat, the lost legalistic Pharisees had turned the Old Covenant Sabbath into a burden rather than the blessing it was meant to be. How many are similar to these Pharisees today? They are so caught up and conflicted by what they think they can and cannot do on the day they call the Sabbath that they do not know the joy and peace of resting alone in Christ for acceptance with God on the day they call their Sabbath. Believer, if you can't think what you're thinking, if you can't say what you're saying, if you can't do what you're doing to the glory of God, the good of your own soul and life, and the good of the souls and lives of others, you shouldn't be doing it on any day of the week. Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. But Jesus not only exposed their unloving understanding of the Old Covenant Sabbath, but he also declared who he is regarding it. Verse 5. And he said unto them, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Jesus is the one who gave Old Covenant Israel the Sabbath. And yet what do you see these lost legalistic Pharisees not willing to do? What do you see them not willing to do? Listen to the one who gave it to them. They didn't want to listen to the one who gave them the Sabbath. Their legalistic, unloving dislike of the law of God took precedence over a right understanding of the purpose and meaning of the Old Covenant Sabbath. Truth that Luke, being guided by the Holy Spirit, as are the other biblical gospel writers, want you to know. They want you to know because of the number of times they write on the encounters Jesus had with the legalistic, unloving Pharisees on the Sabbath, and Jesus correcting them, something they did not take kindly to, as will be seen, and a right understanding. Because what does Luke write next? Another encounter of Jesus on the Sabbath with those who did not understand its purpose or want to. Verses 6 and 7. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. Notice, what were these Pharisees doing? What? Notice what they were doing, friends. What were they doing? Were they enjoying the Sabbath? Were they enjoying the Sabbath? No. Were they resting in the truth that the Lord had given them the Sabbath for their benefit? For their blessing? No. Were they sitting at the feet of Jesus, like Mary, wanting to hear and expound on the purpose of the old covenant Sabbath? No. They're watching Jesus. They're watching Jesus to see if He would heal so that they might accuse Him of breaking their legalistic, unloving understanding of it.
And I have to confess before you as I confess before my Father in heaven. Father, forgive me for the number of times I have allowed legalism to rise up because of my former ignorant understanding of the Sabbath when I saw someone doing what I thought shouldn't be done on what I thought was the Sabbath, all the while not resting in the true Sabbath, Jesus Christ. Friends, let me be totally honest. Who of us has not been like these legalistic, unloving Pharisees? Who of us have not been like them? Watching Jesus that they might accuse Him as we have seen someone else doing something we think should not be done on our religious but not revealed Sabbath day, and then accusing them in our proud hearts because I'm not doing it. How many Reformed believers are no different than Roman Catholics who don't eat meat on Fridays because they've convinced themselves that a particular day in their thinking is the Sabbath of God?
And friends, I confess, I've been there. I've been there, friends, and I'm not going back. Because to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. I'm not going back. Jesus is my Sabbath rest, and I can rest in Him and enjoy my rest in Him, my Sabbath in Him, every day by faith. Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name, giving thanks that I can rest in Him every day for peace and rest with God. But what does Jesus know about these legalistic Pharisees? He knows they do not understand the purpose of the Sabbath. The Lord of the Sabbath, the One who gave it, to point to Himself, knows their thoughts. Verse 8, but He knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Jesus not only knew their wrong thoughts concerning Himself and the Sabbath, but Jesus was about to challenge them to face their unloving understanding of the purpose of the Sabbath. Verses 9 and 10, then said Jesus unto them, I ask you one thing, is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, He said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he did so, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. Now, if you add Matthew's account to what Luke has written, you see what Jesus is doing by doing this. Matthew 12, verses 10 to 12. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse Him? And He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if he fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Now, for many years, I understood what Jesus was saying, as recorded by Matthew, as meaning to use my religious but not revealed Sabbath in the way it is written in the 1689 Confession and in the duties of necessity and mercy. That is, in acts of necessity and mercy, that is, acts of necessity and mercy are allowable. Now, leaving aside how subjective deciding what acts of mercy and necessity are, what Jesus is doing is not giving His church an undefined, totally subjective principle that is viewed differently by everyone as to what acts of necessity and mercy are. For yes, it was an act of mercy for Jesus to heal this man's withered hand. But I'll ask you, was it an act of necessity? Was it an act of necessity? It is unlikely that the man would have died if Jesus had waited until the next day to heal his withered hand. Jesus was not healing this man's withered hand to give his people a totally subjective principle of acts of necessity and mercy on the day they call their Sabbath. What is Jesus doing? Jesus is exposing the hypocrisy. Jesus is exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. You are watching me to see if I'm going to heal on the Sabbath, but you have no problem pulling out one of your sheep that has fallen into a pit on the Sabbath day. What hypocrites you are! And the reaction of the Pharisees to what Jesus said to them shows you that he was not giving a principle for how people's traditional but not revealed Sabbath is to be kept. Jesus is exposing their hypocrisy. And do hypocrites like their hypocrisy exposed? No. So what is their reaction to having it exposed by Jesus? Verse 11, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another that what they might do to Jesus. Jesus wasn't giving us this subjective thing, well, acts of necessity and act of mercy. He was exposing their hypocrisy. But not only this, the fact that Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath to expose the hypocrisy of these legalistic, unloving, Sabbath-disliking, and Sabbath-distorting Pharisees, because the last thing they wanted to see or believe was the blessing of Christ alone for acceptance with God. But I repeat, friends, Jesus did not have to heal this man's withered hand on the Old Covenant Sabbath. Was it an act of mercy? Yes, most definitely, but it was not an act of necessity. This man would not have died if Jesus had waited a day or longer to heal his withered hand. He was not in great peril so that Jesus had to heal his withered hand on the Sabbath. Jesus did it because of the purpose of the Old Covenant Sabbath under the New Covenant is to point weary, lost sinners to the one through whom alone rest is found, not in a day, but in Him.
Right.
But in Him. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was. Weary and worn and sad, I found in Him the resting place. And He has made me glad. There remains a rest, there remains a sabbatismos for the people of God. It is the rest of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the believer's true and only everlasting Sabbath, yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Is Jesus your Sabbath? Let us pray. Lord, make those who have heard and make those who ever hear this message Berean. And may they come to see the glory of the rest that is found in Jesus alone. Oh Lord our God, give to your church the message of your rest-producing Son, the one alone who can give us rest with you today, tomorrow, forever. Help us in His wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.